Hello, this is a show from Radia. We're a group of stations bringing new and forgotten ways of making radio to our listeners. Each week we give artists the challenge to make radio that works across the whole of Europe and beyond. Are you up for it?
Your heart is beating faster.
Your heart starts beating fast.
I feel it in my chest.
I feel it in my gut.
Your pupils are increasing. Everything more intensely.
Adrenaline rush.
You know, you're afraid.
Fear that I have outgrown, yes. As a young kid, I was about 4 or 5 years old. Out to the zoo with my father looking at animals, and we went to the monkey cage and he was feeding the monkeys with sunflower seeds, and I wanted to do the same thing, of course, so I put he put some sunflower seeds in my hand and I was handing it to the monkey. Back then you can reach and hand out food, and so the monkey, instead of grabbing the sunflower seeds, took my hand and pulled it in to the cage, and I was so scared that the monkey will grab me in that I lost my speech. I did not speak for a year after that accident. I was peeing in my bed, wetting my bed, and it was like something my parents were told, shocked, did not know what to do with me, because they thought I lost my speech, I will never gain it again, or something that will be permanent in my life.
I really scared my parents when I was sleepwalking.
I used to think that my parents were fearless.
My parents are hypochondriacs, so they're afraid of everything.
If I cough, it could be a
lung infection.
Nothing in particular.
I've been to the doctor so many times.
I think my parents are afraid when I'm afraid, because they don't like to see me afraid, but I think it's a sort of vague fear.
My father in particular is really terrified by the fact that I'm gay.
I think it's a fear that I don't sabotage myself with all my fear more than anything.
And I think for my father, there's this fear that violence and discrimination are still prevalent in our society, and something could happen to me, that I could really be in the wrong place at the wrong time.
They fear my fear for me. I wish I knew more about what my parents were afraid of when they were my age. Thinking back,
they were raised by
what they were doing.
Mexican immigrants who didn't speak Spanish and were raised during a time when they were going to school in the 60s and 70s. That was around the time of a lot of civil rights movements and Chicano rights movements, where Chicano students were fighting for the right to use the restroom in their school, like something as basic as that.
They must have been afraid of the things I'm afraid of, right? Like this going out into the world.
They don't want me to fail. They want me to do well in life.
That you're invested in.
Anyway, I think they were afraid that that I wouldn't be the person that either they expected me to be or that I expected myself to be. I think that fear really got in the way of our relationship.
And I've had this dream like a number of times in my life. My father dies and he comes back from the dead. But it's not like a zombie kind of coming back from the dead, but he's sort of here in a corporeal but spiritual form. And what he's doing makes me so frustrated and angry in the dream, because he does very mundane things like give people rides and clean things around
my
the house.
My parents are afraid. What scares them is like really just making new friends or going new places or doing things like they're actually just scared. Like my dad is for sure scared. Like he doesn't like it. He feels uncomfortable, which I think is stupid. Yeah, but I don't know. Maybe it's because they just got into such a routine at one point in their lives and now they're just so...
If I had died and I had come back and I only had like a limited time to be back on Earth, they're the last things that I would think about doing.
So that accident stayed with me for a few years. And then somehow I overcame that fear of the monkey and that scare that I had. I don't particularly remember how. I guess I outgrew it, or... Also, I don't believe that, but my mother is saying that there was a gypsy woman that was traveling around in a caravan, and she gave me some soil from some precious saint place where I had to sleep with it underneath my pillow. And also they went and they call it back at home, pour the lead of a bullet into some ritual thing that will scare all the evil in me and the fear I had away. Something like that they did. But over the years, I don't have that fear anymore.
I think at this stage in life that I'm at, fear is less prone to being physical.
I rarely feel fear on a day-to-day basis.
So hard to not
be afraid. I feel like I feel afraid on a pretty regular basis.
I'm always afraid.
Everything is just like vibrating.
Out of control.
Silence. I feel like I can't be vocal in a scenario.
Walking after you.
Being in like a threatening way, yeah, getting mm-hmm. followed. That's really scary. Freaking scary. Yeah.
Walking around at night, I will, you know, if I see a man who looks like he's following me, I'll probably
fear of being be afraid followed. Of that. I feel like it's a fear of being... That's an interesting question because it seems like the answer is really obvious. You're like, oh, I'm afraid I'm going to be attacked. But I don't ever actually really feel like I'm going to be attacked, even though I know that's a possibility. I think it's a fear that comes from not having total control
that's
over
exactly
your situation and not
yeah.
being in like
control.
Power of the situation if something were to happen.
Like I walk home
because of, ostensibly
alone, usually around like 2 in the morning, coming
walking,
back from the library or coming
in
back from something.
Night when I was
and
walking with some friends.
As I was walking home, I had the sensation that more than one person was following me. Somebody from the left and somebody from behind.
As a woman, I am often scared of men, you know, in certain situations, and I should be.
In terms of, like, being a woman, being abroad or being here, like, I'm also someone who, like, decompresses a lot by walking alone at night. That generally puts me in a vulnerable position where you know, I'm more susceptible to different types of harassment.
That was one of the scariest moments in my life, feeling trapped in that place with no phone, with men who had been chasing us for a little bit.
I feel like most women have had the experience of being followed at least for a little while down the street. Mm-hmm. Or like you have to walk by your house.
I also
pretend
always,
it's not your
always
house.
Always walk as fast as I can. Everywhere I go, I'm power walking.
Walking home late at night with like your key weapon out.
Oh, totally. Key weapon. Like, where did we all hear that? How does everyone know
that? I think
that?
Everyone just does that.
Like, between your fingers.
Generally, if I was with a group of people, like, there'd be more, you know, strength in numbers, and I'd feel more safe to, like, respond or be witty or be more more confrontational. But generally, when I'm alone, like, there's an increased fear for my safety.
So I had a lot of fears in high school, just about literally everything you could possibly imagine. And didn't necessarily, like, know why. Because I think a good example, or maybe not a good example, was that I had a fear of, like, not having a boyfriend in high school. And then I didn't know why, like, I had that fear or why that was relevant. Because my parents told me that was irrelevant. And then later on, when I became older, I think the reason why I had that fear was because I was registering it as me not having a significant other meant that no one found me, like, valuable enough. Like be with, and I think I place a lot of my self-value on how other people value me.
Maybe one of my freakiest dreams from a long time ago was I had a bad breakup with my high school boyfriend, and I felt very guilty about it because I kind of felt like it had been my fault. And I had all these weird dreams after for quite a long time. And one of them was I dreamt that I accidentally set my childhood house on fire with this person inside of it. And this person had locked himself in the bathroom and, like, refused to come out. So the dream consisted of me, like, trying to convince this person to leave the bathroom of this house that was burning down that I had lit on fire. And then very lots of confusing things happened because it was a dream and dream logic.
I would step into this coffee table and find myself in this weird
underground
water
with
world.
A dark side with something that we're not familiar or know.
Humans lived there hundreds of years before.
5,000 years of rot.
Dream logic.
My hand would start growing and it wouldn't stop.
I was a deer.
Switching the heads of two dead bodies.
And I was frolicking through the woods. And then at some point, I was getting hunted.
And I remember as I would wake up, I would hold on to my arm. It would be so real.
When you don't have a reference of what you're actually seeing is real, or what you're actually perceiving is what you think to be
the
real,
monster.
It can be really scary.
To be afraid, you need to...
I got the weirdest sensation that...
You need to, like, the what ifs of it need to be so high.
Something was going to happen on
like,
my flight.
Like, more intense, and I think, right, more intense what ifs.
Something wasn't going to go okay.
A direct effect of having...
And she wasn't going to make
it. A more active imagination.
Every time you enter the house, you're not sure if there's someone there or someone not there. And, like, we always have these fears, you know, throughout all our lives from time to time. But...
If it was real, like, how terrifying that would be.
So, this friend of mine started having these
very
paranoid, I guess, episodes where he would run home at one point.
That there's always these people around you. And now there's... It's less the situations and the physical things, but it's my own mind that has the power to really scare me.
When it starts happening every day, this is your reality, and you start living through this reality, it almost becomes like a nightmare.
The end of the dream was like, I like re-entered into like this charred out shell of a house, went into the bathroom to see like what was going on, and there was like writing all over the walls. The writing got more and more like incoherent because this person was getting like oxygen deprivation.
Yeah,
it was like this really freaky dream, very realistic. So I have lots
when you're
of dreams
dreaming,
like that.
You don't know if it's real or if it's not real.
Probably.
Or you can't, you know, make a test to see if this is true or if this is not true. You know, sometimes like when you get high.
I once experimented with drugs with one of my friends.
You're actually like stuck between your thoughts and your own head. That could be one of the worst experiences of your life. Sometimes.
Especially if you are also on some drug and you know like the situation feels like.
You're constantly, you're thinking about putting the pieces of a puzzle together and you're about to put down the last puzzle and you've worked so hard to get to that last piece. And then the whole puzzle breaks and you constantly have to start from the beginning.
It's so overpowering almost because I think about it.
It's only in my imagination.
It's so real.
Inside your own head.
For a long time afterwards. So like if something scares me, I won't be able to forget it for a really long time.
It's contagious.
I never actually saw a monster.
And so when one part of your brain starts feeling the fear, it can
I just sort of knew
branch
it was
off
there.
Into other associations.
The more you can imagine,
so lifelike the reality of it, you think that it's actually someone.
The more likely you are to be scared.
A little bit of information can be terrifying.
Because you're thinking about all scenarios that could happen.
It allows the mind to do all
almost
these kind
like
of things.
A small panic
construct
attack.
All these narratives around it that allows you to go to these far out places that provoke fear.
The fear is always in the back of my mind.
Completely in control of your
mind. Wander as to what it could be, then you really
scare myself a lot.
But everything was out to get
I start thinking about situations.
When you just suddenly have nothing else to think about and you end up thinking about the thing that's always on the back of your mind, and then you go on a bender searching for either confirmation of fear or things that can help you put it away.
One thing leads to another and I can't stop thinking about it. And I work myself up and it doesn't go away for a while.
In those episodes of dread, the dread becomes stronger and becomes a sort of anxiety. And then you beat it back down to a dread that you can manage and sort of forget or operate with.
I think anxiety is a byproduct of fear.
When I'm anxious
me.
About stuff, I often have like lists
because
I going through my head.
I have a lot of worry and anxiety
for it.
And sometimes I think it's fear, but then sometimes I also
fear is probably a better word for it, but I try to downplay it so I don't, you know, kind of focus on it too much because it's terrifying to know that, you know, there's a strong history of depression and alcoholism and drug addiction and, like, also just poor health in my family, and to know that at any moment, you know, that's something that pretty much controls my life. Constantly fearing about my overall physical and mental health and always having to be hyper aware of my own body and my own well-being and not necessarily being able to be carefree.
I have felt powerless in terms of the effect of my mental illness on my behavior and then the mounting consequences of that behavior that I've then had to deal with while still disabled by certain symptoms of the mental illness. And I guess outside of that, there is a certain degree of powerlessness in whether or not I will relapse. At the same time, that is very much something that comes in waves, because I don't know if you can ever truly know that you're powerless, and I think that you can know for sure that the consequence of doing nothing is more of the same, but you can't say for sure that the consequence of trying something is more of the same.
Then I cannot control or explain fear.
The fear of everything being more of the same is an interesting one, because I think most fears, when realized, result in panic. But the fear of powerlessness within the context of mental illness, once realized, when you truly accept that you're powerless, when you truly accept that it's going to always be this way, I think that actually results in a great degree of relief. Because that, I imagine, is the kind of thought one thinks prior to attempting to end one's own life, because it's freeing in that way.
I'm not afraid for my own life. I'm afraid for everyone. I'm afraid for my mom. I'm afraid for you. I'm afraid for them. You know, like that sense of that. I think of basic compassion or empathy, or you know, like mind theory, whatever you want to call it. It's just feeling for others, for sure. I feel fear for others.
I was never afraid or anxious for other people's well-being, whereas now I feel that I have a number of people who have become sort of integral to my happiness, to the point that
I don't know,
sort
something
of,
that comes to mind, like I don't think I'd really,
you know when you finally reach a point with someone that you love them so much that you imagine
college.
Something bad happening, and you immediately think, you know, that you would rather it happen to you than to them. Like, I'm at that point.
And that's something where it was like, oh, shit. Like, this is something to be afraid of. The idea of losing this love or losing this love and then not, I don't know, being able to feel that way again.
And also, I think there's this weird phase when you are really coming to love someone in sort of an irrevocable way, where out of nowhere you start to just wonder or get anxious or concerned about...
That's something...
certain
where I think
bad things happening to them that are salient to them,
like penultimate high, it's easy to fear the absence of it.
That's also interesting in that it's sort of a positive fear, because the underlying message or the underlying meaning of the fear is that you've made an incredibly meaningful bond with someone. So I don't resent it either. Now, if anything, the more salient fear is...
Especially, like, after a bad breakup, the beliefs... I think there's
no
a looming, almost terror-level fear about whether or not...
You might end up in a situation where there's no one around you that you want to understand
you'll ever find that again.
Or that there's no one around you that you like what you understand of.
A lot of it has to do with relationships, and not just romantic relationships, but relationships with friends and family, and just if I wasn't related to you, would you actually want, you know, enjoy having me around?
You know, our interpersonal relationships, I think that's something that we all fear and worry about.
I think I have fears
from other people.
Everyone
shares the same set of universal fears, you know.
That fear of the unknown.
Deep down.
I did not know what to expect.
We all have very similar fears.
I was not alone, and we tend to, and as you can see now, immigrants, when they come to a new place, they all group and stay together and overcome things together, because there's the fear
that we all share, I think, at some level, binds us and makes us human.
On top of that,
my mother and I,
different people have different fears on the basis
of
their particular life experiences.
Similar fears in terms of her grandson, my nephew, being a black male in this country, and then my nephew, they're half black, and different things like that, or like raising my niece in a patriarchal society. And you know, she's a brown girl, curly hair. I think our fears are
here by way of like bonding people has affected my life.
So my sophomore year, there was a lot of student activism, and there's a sit-in, then there's a die-in, and there was a lot of Black Lives Matter protests. And people I know and I'm pretty close to, they were at the forefront of it, and they started receiving death threats over things like Yik Yak, which is an anonymous app, and they were very violent threats, like bash their head in, burn them alive, things like that. So it was fear.
Fears that are related to, you know, like one position in society, to like, you know, messages that we get from society, and like the way society's set up. And I don't think they've necessarily changed.
Like, fear for my friend's safety, but then also when we, as people who were involved, pressed the university to find out who was doing this for their safety, right, and do something, and the university kind of said, oh, we can't do anything, it's an anonymous site, and then we finally got them to look into it. They made us provide all proof, and then they said they couldn't do anything.
People's lack of desire to know. It's when people make up their minds based on their very limited experiences and there's no convincing them otherwise. That scares me because
I found this out the next semester that a week after that, during finals, someone threatened to blow up the library or do something like that on the same site, and they found out who that person was by the end of the day and removed him from the campus, but they said they couldn't find out who the people were that were threatening my friends, and but my friends left campus, you know, because they weren't safe. And so I think after that, I just lost all trust in not just my university, but a lot of other institutions where, you know, had these conversations about institutions being corrupt and stuff before, but that was something that really solidified that.
So I think when we say fear and put it out there, that should be contextualized, like exactly from what. And I think and every single day we aspire to avoid instances where we do fear. And I think they come every single day.
And I think that this is common for people who come from financially precarious situations, who don't come, you know, from families with a lot of money. This is common for women and, you know, people who aren't white.
My fears are a lot more institutionalized now.
I mean, but basically we're afraid of oppression and
the power institutions hold.
What my life will depend on in the future is just other people's decisions. And once you start reading about decisions they've made or previous decisions people in their position have made, and you realize what effect it could have, you know, literally directly to you, or even indirectly or directly to some of your friends, your family, or whatnot.
Whenever I am home, because I'm like 3,000 miles away, what I do a lot of work with their like confidence, making sure my nephew, because he's a black man, making sure he knows he has someone to talk to. And then with my niece, making sure she loves herself, making sure, you know, similar things. So yes, it brings me closer in that sense, but it's also distancing because I'm like constantly afraid that, especially with my nephew, that he could be taken away from me and my family at any moment.
Just them having that sort of decisive power on your life scares me, on my life.
I go to the States and my sister lives outside of D.C., so there's lots of Republicans.
It's not who
and they're
becomes
really nice
president
people,
that scares me.
They're very
me.
Kind to me, but they just love
there. It's just the fact that you have
Trump. And there's just, you know, there's no convincing them. And you sit and you talk with them and they just have their mind made up so like stern that there's no way you can convince them out of it, and they will never see any other side or come to understand anything else than what they know. And
yeah,
that scares me,
especially because, you know, sometimes you read about people and you're just like, I'm not sure if I want that person to make a decision, which essentially will be on your behalf later on, you know, because it's a position with responsibility. Millions of lives are affected, literally, directly, and not only in the U.S.,
In a lot of countries, you can see a lot of people on the street who are very, very poor. There are a lot of, like, you know, people without homes who obviously live on the street. There are a lot of really, really sick people. There are a lot of, you know, really disabled people. That is terrifying to, you know, see poverty and sickness and neglect by the government and state. So up close.
And then you move over to like the other side of the world. You have countries like, you have like Saudi Arabia. Let's talk about Saudi Arabia, like a country I lived in right now is not doing too well. You have a king that's somewhat dying, and the person who's going to come next in throne that's being disputed. And that also has a pretty big effect on my life. For example, who's going to be the next king is going to affect the Saudis' relationship with the U.S. and who's going to be the U.S. president is going to affect that relationship too. And that relationship definitely affects where I'm living right now and where my parents are living.
I guess when you're facing sort of any kind of authority figure, yeah, like bureaucratic authority figures where there's nothing you can do about it. You just have to wait in that line and put up with whatever they have to do, or you don't get what you need.
And they will affect you directly no matter what it is you want to do. if you want to stay in school, if you want to work, if you don't want to work, if you just want to travel, or if you just want to chill with your family, no matter what you want to do, these outcomes will affect you, and you have no say, you have no power, you don't even agree with what's happening, and I feel that's one of the scariest things you could probably experience, because it's just not up to you. Like, literally, your future is almost not up to you. In the end, it is in your hands, but it's like, what hoops you're going to have to jump through and how big or tight these hoops are not up to you.
Fear over different generations, it changes. Some things stay, some things get twisted and modernized about even children's stories nowadays are told different than what I remember them. You know, even the kids' stories where Hansel and Gretel and stuff, where they encounter the witch and stuff. Now it's kind of having a happy ending, but at the end, the real story was completely different. So over the years, stories and fear are being told different because we evolve and we think about fear in a different way. And the fear changes faces, but there is always a fear.
End of transmission. Find us on the internet, radia.fm. Over and out.